It's just after 3. Another hour of Murph and Andy on 1460 KXNO, Des Moines Sports Station.
You got that right. It's sports and more until 4 on the Murph and Andy Show on this iHeart radio station. You can check out a podcast if you missed any of our number one. What's the best way to do that, AD?
iHeart Radio, right on your phone. Just search KXNO, search Murph and Andy.
On the app?
Right on the app.
Okay.
You can also do it on iTunes, KXNO.com, right at the top says podcast. Take you right there.
All right, thank you.
A bunch of different ways.
Yeah, all this technology
Google
confuses
Murph and Andy
me.
Podcast, it'll come up somewhere.
iHeartRadio. It's Andy fails, Andrew Downs.
That Sonic logo has worked. That's proof right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yep. iHeartRadio.
They call that a Sonic logo, yeah. Something that...
It sticks with you. Yeah. By Menon.
Exactly. I'll tell you, anytime I hear iHeartRadio now, I on the app, I hear Andy as Tommy Tuberville.
Well, they haven't fumbled the football a single time all season. I can't believe they haven't fumbled a single time. Will you shut up?
And just then...
I can't believe they didn't fumble a single time.
Nobody's jinxed them or anything.
All right, let's get to Trending Iowa on a Tuesday.
Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales, home of Central Iowa's largest commercial selection. Visit them today at The Rock.
Trending Iowa, Iowa hosts number 4 Michigan State tonight at 8 o'clock. The Hawkers are 10-point underdogs. Hear the game on 1040 WHO and with iHeartRadio.
It seems like about the perfect setting for...
An upset.
Yep.
Come on.
For Iowa to just jump out of nowhere and win this game.
This would be really jumping.
It would.
It's been pretty easy
it
to identify.
It almost seems like it would help them to have Bohannon out just to make it an even more ridiculous proposition.
Brady Ellison goes for 30 or something.
Yeah. You've been able to tell with Iowa, haven't you, pretty quickly? Like early in the game, they're ahead and they're doing well, and then they've been able to hold it against who have they done that against lately? Wisconsin,
Minnesota.
Yeah, the alternative is you just know by halftime, like whoa. With the exception of Illinois, they did come back against Illinois, but man, there haven't been close games either. Yeah. Iowa
starts well, or they don't start at all.
Right. They don't show against Penn State on Saturday. It was 14-14, and then it was 25-14.
Oh.
You know, so they give up. If Iowa doesn't give up a 10-point or longer run to Michigan State, I'll feel good about tonight.
Did you know, according to ESPN stats and info, Michigan State's 22-3 start is tied for the best 25 games beginning to a season in the Tom Izzo era. I mean, that's as well as a Michigan State team has started under Tom Izzo.
It's kind of surprising. I figured maybe they would have gotten off to a one loss start or something.
Yeah, and they've had some distractions, like false reports of Izzo retiring, for instance.
Trending Iowa, Alan Lazard has been invited to next month's NFL Combine. He'll be joined by 5 Iowa Hawkeyes, Josh Jackson, Josie Jewell, Akram Wadley, James Daniels, and Sean Wells. So 6 total players from in the state.
I guess the name missing from that is Joel Lanning, which probably speaks to just being really respected as a great all-around football player, which he is, but doubts as to whether he can be an NFL caliber linebacker after just 1 year at the position.
Yeah, and I was a little surprised Kamari Cotton-Moya wasn't invited. Being here in our little bubble, I've thought of him as a very good defensive back in the Big 12. Apparently, there are some other issues, maybe.
And kind of with Joel Lanning, you want to know some measurables on him, don't you? I mean, you know the intangibles on him.
He's got the intangibles.
Tough.
No one would question those.
You can't test that at the combine, though. I'm kind of more curious to know what he does in some of these other tests than some of these other players that maybe you know more about.
Yeah, he'll get a shot. I mean, he'll be in somebody's camp.
How fast is he? What's his jump? What's what are all his measurements and stuff? How are his teeth?
Yeah,
That's
I'm really curious about his teeth.
The only thing they don't check at the combine. Check the guy's teeth, will you? Just looking at a horse, it's like they're measuring a horse.
It is. How sick do you think Tom Brady is, and sick and tired of that shot of him like spinning around in his little gray shorts, just looking kind of
At the combine?
At the combine.
Is that what they're doing?
A little soft and out of shape. And then they always, there's always the dissolve from that.
To Brady to just, where he is now.
To him running the 40, just looking, well, kind of like he did on that wheel route he ran in the Super Bowl.
Finally, trending Iowa, the lineup for this summer's Hinterland Music Festival has been announced. The co-headliners are Sturgill Simpson and Band of Horses.
The Sturgill Simpson is a big pull for this. He has a really rabid fan base. He played SNL, I guess, two Saturdays ago with Chris Stapleton.
Yeah,
and two of them did two duets.
And he was the musical guest for SNL earlier in the season. It's like last fall sometime. He was kind of by himself out there on SNL. So, yeah, he's had a big kind of rise to fame here.
He sounds like Waylon Jennings, for those who remember Waylon. He's got a similar voice.
That's it for Trending Iowa, powered by Carl Chevrolet Commercial Sales.
Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. This is interesting today. I've had a number of people ask me, because I work at Channel 13 and NBC, about the ratings for the Super Bowl. Super Bowl ratings were at an eight-year low overall for the amount of people watched. That includes the streaming numbers, which are folded into the numbers. It is still an incredible, staggering amount of people. This is an eight-year low, and it's still the 10th most watched program in the history of television. So you have to have some perspective with that. At the same time, you do also have to note that the 7% down for the NFL, it is something I'm sure they're mildly concerned about. You have the 10th highest rated television, 10th most watched television show in history, but you also do have a continuing trend of fewer people watching. Most importantly, as pointed out here by television critic Mike Mulvihill, some further context is how the Super Bowl compares to the number one rated show in primetime. And when you look at it through that lens, the Super Bowl continues to be the most impressive audience gathering there is for anything, any way of watching anything, movies, streaming, television. Because in 2009, going back 10 years ago, the Super Bowl was 287% higher than the number one primetime show. Now the Super Bowl is 617% higher than the number one rated primetime show. So the television across the board with all the viewing options has had massive erosion. More people are watching shows than ever before,
right,
but they're just watching so many different shows.
It's so spread out now.
Yes.
It's so spread out. And you know, you look at the power of live sports right there. That's what jumps out at you, right? I mean, this is the one thing that cannot be spread out, right? The Super Bowl cannot be spread out.
Mm-hmm.
The number one show on TV can definitely be spread out. You just make more shows, more networks. This is still going to be just the one game. But that said, I mean, there are a number of reasons why the Super Bowl has taken a hit this year and the NFL has taken a hit this year. And there are a lot of people out there that want to hear us say it's because there are a lot of Americans that are angry at NFL players. And I think that has
it's
been part of it.
It's one of several factors.
It is. That has been part of it. But I think also another part of it is I just think that the NFL has hit its critical mass. And every good thing hits that at some point. I mean, there's only so much water in the well.
Yeah, it's and
this thing has been bottomless for so long.
They oversaturated the market, too. The Thursday night football, it's a lot. And they had this year, another factor, these are many factors, bunch of star players were out. Like, how many times
did I not watch
the Packers? Because I'm not watching the Packers without Aaron Rodgers.
Without Aaron Rodgers, no Andrew Luck. The Texans were looking to be such an interesting team. Even the Eagles, who ended up winning the Super Bowl, those all took a really big hit to the interest level in tuning in and really whittled it down to the most hardcore fans. But I also think, though, that ultimately this is a good thing for the NFL. I think the NFL needed to be checked down a little bit.
I agree.
I mean, he had this Midas touch, this cavalier attitude that anything it touched was going to turn to gold, and it really didn't have to try that hard. Didn't have to think that much, to the point where, I mean, some of the things that NFL owners have done to local markets and local taxpayers is just wrong. And it's done by entities that are just too powerful.
Yeah, they're fleecing people out of desperation. And
threatening to move teams, moving teams.
Another thing, I mean,
acquiring these crazy elaborate stadiums for organizations that stink.
The NFL has been checked down, to use your term, on catches. I mean, there was at least one of the two catches by the Eagles, as it's been defined all season long, should not have been a touchdown. The ball was moving. But for our eyes, those were both touchdown catches, and that's the Roger Goodell has already said they're going to look at that. You can tell it's going to be changed to what
everyone
knows.
And that's an aggravating thing about to watch. When
it
your
is.
Eyes tell you one thing and the rule tells you something else.
Yeah, I just saw a guy in Dallas's obituary that his daughter wrote about him. He's a Cowboys fan. And the final line of the obituary is, went to his death knowing that was a catch by Dez Bryant.
Oh, geez.
You know, just, I mean, there's catches like that have happened where you know that was a catch. The delays, the replays are too long. Yeah, the NFL needs some of that. They needed to get rid of the kickoff commercial or commercial kickoff commercial.
Let's come back to the fans a little bit, right?
Yeah. Not everything you do is perfect. So yeah, that is a good thing. NBC, now that the Super Bowl is behind us, but during the Super Bowl, NBC relentlessly promoted the Olympics.
We come from mountains and coastlines, small towns and big cities. We come from different families with different backgrounds and live different lives. But we all come with a dream of gold around our necks and a song in our hearts. All for one team and one team for all. The Winter Olympics begin February 8th, live on NBC.
All right, is it working?
It worked on me. That promo during the Super Bowl was slick. It looked really good. You know, I do this to myself every time, whether it's the Winter Olympics or even the Summer Olympics, not all that excited. And then I see one of these promos put together, usually by NBC, and you're like, yeah, there's fun stuff to watch during the Olympics. It is a good time. I am looking forward to it.
I love the Olympics.
I mean, I'm not going to pick it over, you know, more football or something like that. If we could launch back into the college football season, I'd pick that. But in a time right now where our college basketball teams are kind of, well, they're letting us down.
Yeah, the two high-profile ones are really
I welcome. I feel fortunate that we have the Winter Olympics this year.
It's a couple of things not everybody realizes. It's we're 16 hours behind South Korea, but if you want, and this takes away the main criticism for some people, if you want, you can watch every single Olympics event live through one of the NBC platforms. Now, NBC is still going to package up the best of prime time into a way to try to tell those stories and make you care about those events.
Good, because I need help.
And also because of the amount of money that NBC spends, many of the big events will be held in the morning in South Korea so that they're in prime time here. So however they stagger the time, they'll be live at the time that they're actually shown live in our prime time. That's the power of spending $1 billion on the Olympics. But if you choose, through the NBC Olympic channels or the app or NBC Sports Network, you could watch every single event live.
Good, and that's the way it should be. There's no reason for that not to be the case now with the world of TV the way that it is. But I want NBC to pare down the best stories. It's the Winter Olympics. We don't follow these guys. We need help. We need a reference guide. We need Cliff's Notes. Do they still have those, by the way?
They're probably digital now, right?
Yeah, digital Cliff's Notes.
Is there
a Cliff's Notes app? Who's there is.
First Winter Olympics name that comes to mind of somebody on this year's team. AD, go.
Sean White.
Yeah, Sean White for me, too.
Okay. I wasn't
Should I come up
I
was, with another one?
No, I was thinking
you. Vaughn.
Lindsey Vonn. Yeah,
I thought
she's
one of you would say Michaela Schifrin, but no.
Nah.
Well, she's gonna be.
I don't know who that is.
She's the greatest skier in the world. She's
Lindsey. Is she better looking than Lindsey Vonn?
Did she date Tiger for a year?
Yeah. I think she's 22 years old. She did not date Tiger for a year. She's
we don't think
She could become the first woman to win 3 golds in the same Olympics. She's already won.
What's her name?
Michaela Schifrin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I do like the scheme, though. Like you said, I enjoy that. So I'm sure we'll know her name by the end of the
Do you remember the promo in the Olympics of the, like, she had one of the commercials. It's a commercial. It wasn't a promo. It's a commercial about always be faster than the boys.
Yes.
You remember that?
I do remember that.
That's Michaela Schifrin. Yeah, that's her.
I think the reason that I started loving Winter Olympics is probably the same reason that many of us did. When you watch the Winter Olympic events, you look at those events and you think, oh, that looks fun, right? I mean, they look like fun games, fun little competitions to have, like riding a bobsled or going off a ski jump or doing skiing. Yeah, I mean, even like the biathlon, skiing and you get a gun. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff.
What else do you need when you're skiing? Oh, a gun would be nice.
Yeah, that looks fun. Well, that was, I guess, the way that the armies would, there was a competition for those Nordic soldiers that would ski around with a gun that have to shoot. But those just look like fun. Hockey's fun. I don't know how fun curling is. I'll never get that.
It does, and they've added to it. You have mixed doubles now in curling because of the popularity of that sport in the Olympics. So now a man and a woman from each country are paired up to try to win a mixed doubles.
That does nothing to add to the interest in that, does it to you?
Let's get a quickie poll from WCI Pools and Spas on the Murph and Andy Show platforms.
Are you excited for the Winter Olympics? Hell yes. Heck yes. Heck no or hell no?
I'm going heck yes today. As it starts, it'll be a hell yes for me. I ramp up as I get closer here, but I'm at minimum heck yes.
I'm at heck yes, and I think that might be my ceiling. But I mean, there's no NHL players.
That's going to be rough.
But heck yes is enough. That's good enough.
I'm hell yes. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm jacked for this.
Minus 10 in Pyeongchang yesterday. These will be the coldest Olympics in more than 20 years. You mentioned
seems fitting, though. This has been a cold winter for us. It was the coldest Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the Olympics that were in Sochi, that's actually, even though it's Russia, that's like a summer resort town.
Yeah.
So they had to manufacture snow and pretend it was covered in snow. It was pretty warm.
And then in Vancouver, Vancouver is like the warmest city in Canada. So that doesn't really count.
All right, let's get to this tidbit from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Bob Sansevier.
Mm-hmm.
He says the Vikings should act now and trade for Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles. Forget Kirk Cousins. Go after Foles.
It's an interesting argument because what are you hoping for out of anybody else?
Well, they're not going to play better than Nick Foles did in the Super Bowl against the Vikings.
What are you hoping for out of any quarterback you get in any method? What are you hoping that they can do?
Win the Super Bowl.
What did Nick Foles just do?
He won the Super Bowl.
Who did he beat?
He beat Tom Brady.
How
and the
well
Patriots.
Did he play?
He played great. He was the MVP.
I mean, isn't that it?
But
really?
But here's the thing you have to do with Foles. You have to change your offense to fit his skill set. That was the smart thing that Peterson did. He went back and looked at the point in time in the NFL when Foles was really good and changed back to that run play option offense. Does Zimmer strike you as a guy that's going to change the offense to fit Nick Foles?
He strikes me as a defensive coach.
Yeah, so I think that's the concern.
But again, there's a blueprint.
Yeah.
And you know, what offensive
you know what the blueprint is? Stay away from Jeff Fisher. I mean, look who sucked under Jeff Fisher. Nick Foles, Jared Goff, Case Keenum. Yeah. All three of those guys were terrible under Fisher. They go elsewhere, and they're like, oh, hey, we can play football.
Well, yeah.
And he'll get another job.
You know who else was terrible under Jeff Fisher? All of the other players that he had from the St. Louis Rams on.
Yet he just keeps getting a job in his flip-flops. All right, so let's get to this quickie poll here. Quickie poll B from WCI Pools and Spas. Or is it C? I don't know.
It is C, yeah.
C, okay.
Yeah, who's counting? Who would give the Vikings a better chance to win the Super Bowl in 2018? Is it Kirk Cousins, Nick Foles, Keenum, Bradford, Bradford?
One of the three starters they've had,
or a first-round draft pick?
Yeah, they could take their first-round draft pick and maybe Baker Mayfield is still around late in the first or something like that.
I think that's the worst choice.
I do, too.
I mean, they're ready now. They're that close now.
Name for me real quick all the big games Kirk Cousins has won.
Yeah, why is he so coveted?
There was that one where he like yelled as he's walking back in the locker room. I don't know who they played.
How you like me now or something like that. I forget what he said.
So I assume that was a big game.
Tell me about all the Super Bowls that the Redskins have been to with him. I think this guy makes a good argument.
He does.
It's interesting. It's not as simple as that. But I mean, if you
got to change the offense, though,
you're going to have to give up a bunch to get Kirk Cousins. You're going to have to give him a bunch of money, too.
I think it's a little bit crazy that the Eagles are willing to get rid of Foles so quickly. Like, I get
they haven't
Carson
said
Wentz,
anything about it.
I get that Carson Wentz is a very good quarterback, and he has looked great. And I said this to somebody. They're like, well, yeah, but they had to change their offense for Nick Foles. Yeah, but the offense they changed to won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, even if they have to run this offense all next year with Nick Foles, you just won the Super Bowl, and he played great in those last
six quarters. 500 yards of offense.
Quarters. Right. Like, I understand Carson Wentz seems to be like he's going to be a great player.
Yeah, but Carson Wentz can run, too.
Yeah,
can he run to the Super Bowl?
You don't need him to do anything.
I don't know, Nick.
You don't need anybody to do anything more than Nick Foles did, especially the last two games.
It is something that...
Like, you already have the team around him for him to win the Super Bowl again.
If the Carson Wentz direction ends up in a dead end, or God forbid, if it just is a horrible implosion... This is going to look like one of the dumbest decisions, the dumbest, like, obvious decisions ever.
Especially if Foles has even a decent career somewhere else. Like, if he goes to Minnesota and leads them to the playoffs the next 5 years, even if he doesn't win another Super Bowl, if Wentz isn't great, that was a bad move.
Yeah, and aren't we all being too, too reactionary to, well, they'd have to change the offense? Shouldn't a good coach be changing whatever offense he's running to the most important position on the field? Right. I mean, are the Patriots going to the run-pass option with Tom Brady? No. I mean, if you have a running quarterback and you're not doing rollouts, or you have somebody who's really good at reading the defense, run-pass option, whatever it is, you have to fit the offense to fit your guy. Philadelphia did that and had 500 yards of offense in a Super Bowl winning performance. So there's some evidence there to suggest that this guy can do enough to win the big game.
It's an interesting predicament to be in. I mean, it's a kind of a fun off-season story. But if I'm a Vikings fan, man.
You're wearing purple.
Yeah. They've all kind of, it seems like the ones that I've heard from have all kind of gone ahead and set their compasses to Kirk Cousins, right, though? It's like they are counting on getting him, and now they have to change to somebody else, and nobody ever really likes to do that. But, I mean, if you could get Nick Foles, and he just won the Super Bowl and played that well, and beat the guy that likely, if you're the Vikings, you go back to the Super Bowl, you probably have to beat them again. I mean...
There have been some bad quarterbacks who have won the Super Bowl, but those teams won despite the quarterback.
Yeah, they didn't. They weren't
was
the
great.
MVP of the Super Bowl. He threaded was, needles and won the
game.
Yeah,
and he outplayed Tom Brady, who would have been the MVP had the Patriots won.
Yeah, he gets the MVP. I don't know that he outplayed the guy who threw for 505, three touchdowns and zero picks, but
scored more.
Yeah, scoreboard to Foles.
He caught the pass.
Yeah, he did catch the pass. He didn't look like he was in the hamstring run. The three-point play, 284-5966, 284-KXNO for a shot at the $20 Applebee's gift card and more, including the death of a scene stealer.
For three. He'll fire another long three. Good again! For three more, yes!
Take a shot at the three-point play.
Three-point play is presented by Applebee's, where what's it going to cost me for a burger and fries over? Any idea, Andy?
$7.99, baby.
You got that right. Here's Andrew. Andrew, see if you can name the sports voice.
You know, we got our hands full with a team that's one of the best teams in the country. They've got multiple pros.
This guy has his own sandwich at Applebee's.
Is that Fran McCaffrey?
It is Fran McCaffrey. That's a big hint on the Franwich. Name this band. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. Andrew, do you know that small band?
Small band would be U2.
Exactly right. You name this movie, and you win.
Where'd you get this?
I made it myself. From a tree near home.
Wonder Boy.
Made it a long time ago when I was a kid. I wanted it to be a very special bat.
Andrew?
I don't have it.
Don't have it. All right. Got us almost to the finish line, though, so Jason can sneak in and steal here. Can you name that movie, Jason?
Can you play?
Where'd you get this?
I made it myself from a tree near home.
Wonder Boy.
Made it a long time ago when I was a kid. I wanted it to be a very special bat.
The best damn ball player I ever saw. No, best damn hitter I ever saw. Jason, what movie's that?
The one, Natural.
Yeah, The Natural.
My friend, you are the ball.
And what movie's that? It's
Natural.
Best I ever had. You're the best damn hitter I ever saw.
Gosh.
It's Pops.
Suit up. Yeah, that's it's great. That's it brings great. On the big
could
movie
make
star
a
smile.
Bat? Could you make a bat out of a tree?
Could I?
Yeah.
Oh, you know I
how would you even go about that?
I did.
You would really just have to dumb it down for me. I would just try to have to grab the branch that is most bat-shaped and start with that. There's no way I could cut out of, like, the heart of the trunk.
In shop class, we used to have to make they're kind of like bats, and then you'd build a lamp out of it. Yeah. No, I didn't build a bong in shop
Everybody
class.
Everybody was making bongs in shop class.
Well, I didn't make a bong. I made a lamp thing. I wasn't like Brian in the Breakfast Club where he was pulling on the elephant's trunk and he couldn't get the lamp to come on.
Yeah, thing wouldn't work.
Let's get some more on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO.
Actor John Mahoney is dead at age 77. It's kind of sad. Most people remember him as Frasier's dad, right, on Frasier. But I will always think of him as, well, the only guy in the audience who laughed at the punchline in Diane Court's commencement speech.
But I have something to tell everybody. I've glimpsed our future, and all I can say is, go back.
That's great.
Just, the line just fell. Say anything.
I never great got movie. The jokes. Are we supposed to get the joke, or are we not supposed to get it?
Well,
I don't
she's
get
not
it.
A very funny person. She, yeah. Glimpse the future, and she's saying, it's scary, everybody. Go back. Watch out. It's a scary future. It's not a funny line.
Okay, good.
She wasn't...
I
was
think
not a very funny line delivered by somebody who was not very funny.
Intentionally so. But I think of John Mahoney also... He first comes to mind for me from this movie, but for me, the line he says that I think of is, I'm incarcerated, Lloyd!
I looked for that really hard today. I could not find that. Yeah, he just will not get out of Lloyd Dobler's way.
No.
He's trying to make time.
Yeah.
You know, with Diane, really try to establish something before she goes off on this... Whatever that trip was.
Yeah, and then doesn't
super student trip.
Doesn't her dad even talk to John Mahoney? Doesn't he talk Diane into giving Lloyd a pen as like a breakup present?
Yeah, he tells her to break up with Lloyd and give him this pen.
And he gets the pen.
Here, give him this.
And he's kind of like
stealing all kinds of stuff from these old people.
He feels terrible, and he's like, you gave me a pen?
Yeah.
You just can't make sense of it.
Right, just kick him between the slacks, why don't you? Did have a sweet-ass jukebox, though. That thing was cool. This day in 1971, Alan Shepard becomes the first person ever to take sports out of this world. He uses a modified 6-iron to hit a golf ball on the moon. Alan Shepard, played by Scott Glenn on The Right Stuff, eventually gets to walk on the moon. Now, he says, so as you're watching the video here, he says the suit is so stiff he can only use one hand to swing the golf club. But it doesn't matter. You're in space, and so the ball goes a really long way.
Everybody in the golfing world thought it was fantastic. You tell a guy, he said, how far do you hit your drives? Well, like, you know, I could drive 250 yards. I said, do you realize on the moon you could hit that driver 1,500 yards? And the guy's eyes get big, and he said, now, wait a minute. I got to tell you, the golf course is now 42,000 yards long.
It's all relative. He said that NASA, when he first told them that he was going to drive the golf ball on the moon, they were like, no. You look like a show-off. It looks like we're being way too cavalier about something that's very difficult. You know, landing on the moon, the whole moon mission. You're going to make it look like a joke. But then when he ended up doing it, it just everybody absolutely loved it, and it sort of renewed interest in space travel because it makes perfect sense. I mean, you're doing something on the moon that you do here.
With
right, so
a
really
far different outcome.
Far different outcome, yeah. But
so that's what
really
makes it cool.
Yeah, making it look like it's not so far away after all. 20 years ago today, the Twins traded Chuck Knobloch to the Yankees for $3 million and four minor leaguers. And there are two things that I remember about this. First of all, when I was working in St. Louis at KFNS, I was working with Al Roboski, who is a Cardinals color announcer, former pitcher.
The Mad Hungarian.
Mad Hungarian, and he would always call him Chuck Knoblaw, and no one wanted to correct him because he'd fly off the handle.
Because he's the Mad Hungarian.
He was crazy, yeah. I mean, like kind of good crazy, but he'd get all pissed off in certain situations, so nobody would correct him. But he just would always say Chuck Knoblaw. And the other thing was, I just remember thinking at this point that the Twins were just fire sailing, right? And they're gone at this point. I mean, this is not long before they considered moving the team or just contracting the Major League Baseball. Yeah. Thought about contracting the Twins altogether. But this was their great player, kind of their only great player at the time. And they shipped him off essentially for cash. Now, I mean, they did get a bunch of good young players. It didn't really materialize. But anytime a player is traded for money, don't you think of like the 1920s or something? Yeah. Like, yeah, really old baseball where...
Like Babe Ruth was traded for money.
Yeah, yeah. And now a great player, it's like they don't have... You can't even put a monetary value on him for a team. But registration for the 9th annual Grand Blue Mile on April 24th opened today with a $10 two-day flash sale. So it's a discounted run. Discounted marathon short type run. This deeply discounted price is available for all ages now through February 7th. You'll be part of the 109th Drake Relays by joining the runners and walkers in downtown Des Moines for the Midwest's premier one-mile race.
It's a great event. It's staged at a good time. They do it upright. It makes
often has
all
the best
kinds of
weather
sense
of the week.
Yeah, and if you get good weather, it's a great day for a walk or a run. And the runners, the premier runners, the ones who are trying to win that cash, they like it cool, so they're hoping it's a little bit on the cooler side.
Showcases the city, and you get to get down there and see all the progress that all those buildings have made since the last time you were there a year ago. So far, four Philadelphia Eagles have said they won't accept an invitation to the White House should Trump invite the Eagles. Now, he disinvited the Golden State Warriors. The Astros were invited, did accept. Eagles Chris Long and LeGarrette Blount declined the invitation last year when they were with the Patriots, and they are not expected to accept an invitation this year either. Long has already said, forget it. Chris Long, by the way, donated his entire salary this season to charity. His first six checks were earmarked for charities in Charlottesville, Virginia, the site of the deadly white supremacist riot over the Confederate Monument last year.
Yeah, that's really impressive to it donate is. Your whole salary.
Talk the talk. The Minneapolis airport is patting itself on the back for handling the Super Bowl traffic well. As many as 69,000 people were expected to pass through the security screening by the end of the day yesterday. More than double the amount of traffic for a regular Monday. I would think it would be even more than just double a regular Monday, right? Because the Super Bowl was there.
It seems like it should be far more.
Yeah. The previous record was 47,000 last March at peak spring break season. So this was like the busiest day ever, according to a TSA spokesperson. The longest wait time at security recorded was 23 minutes at 8 a.m. That's not bad at all.
That's incredible.
That is impressive.
23 minutes. And Minneapolis, that's a busy airport all the time. And this is after the Super Bowl. And you got some weather issues, certainly. That's amazing. They were able to keep the wait time short because the airport employed 20 passenger screening canine teams, explosive detective dogs at the checkpoints, meaning thousands of travelers received expedited screening, according to TSA.
This is new, and we experienced this Sunday morning in Las Vegas. And there were two things I liked about it. One, we were talking with somebody at the airport. We were still kind of bummed. We were having to, you know, come back on Super Bowl Sunday, and some of our friends were staying there for a Super Bowl party, and that seemed fun. And one of the security people there said, just be glad you're not going to be here tomorrow, because it's like the most crowded day of the year at the airport, day after the Super Bowl in Las Vegas.
Even in Vegas.
Yeah, so that makes it. It's the second busiest weekend of the year, New Year's Eve being number one.
Wow.
Super Bowl Sunday being the second most busy day of the year in Las Vegas. So there's that. The other thing is, They did. They had these dogs that were coming around, these canine teams. They sniff you and they sniff their luggage and then they quickly move on. And we're like, wow, I haven't experienced that before. And then we got up to the line and it was like heaven sent. They said, you don't have to take your belt off. Don't have to take your shoes off.
Really?
They're fine. I was wearing a hat, which I usually take off.
Said, this is security? This isn't like to check your bag?
Nope, this is security. This is the full security. Didn't have to take my hat off, my belt off, my shoes off. Didn't have to take my toiletries out of my bag. Just put the bag on the conveyor belt and walk through the thing. That's
walk
all
through
I
the
had
metal
to
detector. Yeah, still, right. They got to check for a knife and stuff. Well, the dog can't smell a knife.
I had to put my phone in a send that through next to the bag, and that was it.
But the
didn't
things
have to
that
take
you
anything off.
The things you didn't have to do was take off
shoes, belt, hat. None of that.
Taking off the belt is the worst part.
Didn't have to take the toiletries out. Dog could have sniffed that, I guess.
If you wear suspenders, do they make you take those off?
I'm sure they do if there's metal on them.
Like the clip-on suspenders that grab like the waistline, like you wear when you're like 4 years old. Little boy for family pictures.
Or you get the guy who backs up his pant system. He's got the belt and the suspenders.
And the suspenders.
Just to be sure, if one fails, he's got a backup plan.
One of the cool things, we went to the Wolves game Saturday night, and they have the metal detectors at Wells Fargo Arena now. And so I started like pulling all the stuff out of my pockets. But there's a thing. It's like, no, you don't have to take off your belt. You don't have to take your wallet out, even though I had some metal in there. You don't have to take the change out of your pockets. It's like your keys and your phone, and that's really about it. That I was worried because I had my kid with me, like, oh, how am I going to do all this? And I was like, oh, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Technology.
That's great. Finally, among all the chemicals contained in McDonald's French fries is one that may cure baldness. Murph, I know that you're on high alert about this thing.
I have been.
Now, hang on a second. I sounded this out phonetically. The chemical is dimethylpolysiloxane.
Right. I've got some.
Try to remember. It's a silicone. It's a silicone used in McDonald's fry oil to prevent splashing.
That sounds
yet
bad.
Yet another chemical that are in McDonald's French fries. But this chemical can be used to mass produce hair follicles on laboratory mice.
Here's what I'm unclear of, though. Because last night I ate three boxes of McDonald's fries during the story in hopes to get some hair follicles growing. But I've since been told I have to rub the fries on my head.
I think the fastest way, maybe you could just kind of dip your head into the frying oil.
As just it's going.
Let it cool first. But yeah, why don't you get one of those
The heat stimulates growth. You're good.
See, it's too good to be true that you just eat a bunch of McDonald's fries.
You have to take the fries and shampoo your hair with them.
So
can you imagine? You smell like French fry.
You smell like a French fry. So, if I have to pick,
Kevin,
relatively,
you smell like French fries.
Relatively normal shape, and balding, or full glorious luxurious head of hair and fat. What do you think I should do?
I think you look just fine now. I think you're wearing this, and it'd be too much of a shock. It's been such a gradual process that it is shocking to me when we look back at pictures of you with full, dark head of hair.
You don't think I can pull off the Costanza, just suddenly come in?
Oh, yeah, Kevin from the office, you come walking in, and you got a full head of hair again? No, that doesn't work.
Just like, what's going on?
If you're bald on Monday, don't come in here with hair on Wednesday.
It's a lot to process.
That's your morning.
All right, come back with the AD Squared. It is unbridled live joy. Murph and Andy Show on 1460 KXNO. Thanks for listening on this iHeart Radio app station. How's the song go again, Andy?
iHeart Radio.
Exactly right. Time for the Andrew Downs audio drop of the day. It is the AD Squared.
Yeah, you gotta get that little heartbeat at the end of it.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Can you do it again, Andy?
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
So Harold Kuntz is a sports guy at News Channel 6 down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's also a big Eagles fan, and he was on the air Sunday as the game was coming to a close. I think I saw that you tweeted this, Murph,
yep.
Or retweeted, like the producer threw up the score on the screen before Harold knew what was going on.
Because Harold had to go out to do the sports.
Yeah, and he's about to do like the Thunder highlights from that night, and it pops up on the screen. Eagles win Super Bowl, you know, 41-33, and so he gets hit with it by surprise live on the air.
This is News on 6 Sports with Harold Koontz.
Okay, late break. Here they won! Yes! They won it! They won it! Yes!
It is somewhat visual. You get a good idea there listening to the audio. And I think the producer of the show or the director makes the decision to go to the Thunder video because they're starting to think that his joy is so over the top that they might be a little bit embarrassed for him.
Yeah, because he starts to cry.
Yeah, he's crying and he's doing the whole hand shaking.
Right.
I mean, this is not just like an excited reaction. This appears as though it's the happiest moment of his life.
Yeah, and the video is really, really fun to watch because you're exactly right. It's up KXNO.com on the Murph and Andy show page. I put up the video this morning, so you can go check that out.
We have quickie polls from WCI Pools and Spas. I believe we're three today.
There we have them coming from every direction here. Begin with this one. Which is your... Boy, this is heated.
It's a heated
What's your preferred
showdown.
Method of driving home during bad traffic on the interstate? Do you stick to the interstate or do you find a different route?
I'm an interstate guy.
After yesterday, I'm an interstate guy.
Yeah.
51% say they find a different route home, though. 49% stick to the interstate. I mean, think about it.
That's a split.
The interstate has got to be pretty much stopped for it not to still be the best.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I always thought, oh, you know, everybody's driving fast and it's, you know, so many cars around you. But what you learn is those roads are cleared like pretty much first, it seems like. Like the driving on 235 yesterday at about 5:15, that was the cleanest road I drove on all day.
Well, by the way, at WHOTV.com, and I believe, AD, you've linked to it here at KXNO.com and on the Murph and Andy show page. Over at Channel 13, the Department of Transportation, the DOT, they've released the footage of the now thought to be 70 car pileup around
the fatality.
Ames. So there's a tragic crash as it turns out. Could have been worse, but even one fatality, of course, is a tragedy. AD, did you say it's about 5 minutes long?
Yeah, right around there.
And so, you see all of it and the aftermath if you're interested in seeing that.
Are you excited for the Winter Olympics? 50% will say, heck yes.
Good number.
19% hell yes, 19% heck no, and 12% go with a hell no.
NBC will take those numbers.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
70%.
That's good. Hell yes and heck yes.
That's pretty good rating.
Who would give the Vikings a better chance to win the Super Bowl in 2018?
Here we go.
God, this is gonna
be Kirk Cousins.
A talker for a long time. It is Kirk Cousins, right? They're set on that.
Yeah, because right? all the big games he's won. At Michigan State and Washington. He's just been a big game machine, that guy.
He led the Redskins back to the promised land, back to controversy over their logo. 38% Kirk Cousins, 29% Nick Foles, 27%. Say stick with Keenum, Teddy Bradford, one of those that they've already got.
Teddy Bradwater.
Not gotten it done with, 6% say go to a first-round pick.
Wow. Okay, 6% say go to a first-round pick. Yeah, that does not seem like it'll pay off next year.
No.
All right, that's going to do it for the Murph and Andy Show. Royal Mile Inbox. Brett says he expects a raucous crowd like always at Carver Hawkeye Arena tonight. That might be sarcastic. We have the Sports Fanatics coming up next on 1460 KXNO.